Hello everyone and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Katowska and I will be your host. This is the UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of study, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions, we will have guest speakers, and what's most important, we will exercise together. Yes, you heard me right. In every episode, we will have a healthy dose of exercises that we will do together. So we won't just talk about fit life, we will actually experience the fit life together. Are you ready? Then let's go. Today's show topic is the impact of COVID-19 on an older age population and how to support their mental and physical health. COVID-19 is changing older people's daily routines, the care and support they receive, their ability to stay socially connected. They're being challenged by requirements to spend more time at home, lack of physical contact with other family members, friends, and lack of activities. It all can create an anxiety and fear of illness and death. It is therefore important that we create opportunities to foster healthy aging during the pandemic. Our guest today is Diana Moran, an English model, fitness expert, and journalist. She hosted the popular exercise segment on BBC One Breakfast Time program. Diana was diagnosed with breast cancer and has become a breast cancer advocate for the Breast Cancer Campaign and other breast cancer charities. She also worked with Riverstone Communities for over 65. Who enjoy London living and want to carry on living the life they want to lead, not the one that they feel they should. Diana's expertise and understanding of an older age group supports residents' health and well-being. At Riverstone, Diana shares her experiences from over the years and ways to maintain a good health, well-being, and to stay motivated. Diana, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you so much for accepting the invitation on my behalf and behalf of UK Health Radio. It's a pleasure and honor to have you, Diana. So thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure. I am delighted to be with you. Thank you very much indeed for asking me.
Oh, of course, of course. How would I not to ask such a motivation, a person who inspires so many out there? You know, so I was thinking it's very important to talk about what you do on a regular basis, which is helping people over 65 at this moment go through the lockdown, go through the COVID, and in general inspire them how to exercise, how to move, how to look after the mental, physical health, well-being. That is such an incredibly important topic and subject to talk about, because we tend to younger people unfortunately forget, or maybe sometimes not put enough attention into that part of the population. So I thought, why not speaking about this, which is incredibly important subject, especially right now while we're facing the pandemic. So tell us more. Of course, I know who you are, but our listeners might not be fully aware. Who are you, Diana?
Well, I'm Diana Moran, and probably better known to many people as the Green Goddess, because I appeared on breakfast television on the very first day. I was the first image that you saw exercising on the bow of a ship as the sun came up. And because I was wearing green, I got nicknamed the Green Goddess by the journalists, the many, many journalists who followed the first day of breakfast television.
Right. I love the nickname. It's just so positive. When you hear about it, Green Goddess is very, very, it just brings smile to my face.
Thank you.
It's very nice.
That was in 1982, and there had been no breakfast television, and there had only just a couple of years beforehand been daytime television. Until then,
wow.
Television started at 6 in the evening and went off at midnight.
Right. And I was saying to friends of mine, like, you're the type of Jane Fonda, UK Jane Fonda type, because the outfit that I saw, the pictures, I was just stunned. I was like, this lady is incredibly beautiful. And the Green Goddess name is just to die for.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it started off, I began my workouts back in the 70s at Butlins, the holiday camps. And if you recall, their uniforms for the red coats are red. So I was in a red leotard and tights. But when I went to HTV to do the program here today, they said, no, 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 we don't want you in red. We want you in something that matches the colors of our set, springtime set. So my favorite color is yellow. So I put on yellow leotard and tights. I came off air and they said, Diana, you can't wear that again. You look like a large prancing canary. Then I tried beige and they said, you definitely can't wear that. You look naked. And so then they said, what other colour is there? And I said, there's this terrible green. And that's how I came to be in the green.
And that green started that beautiful nickname, Green Goddess. Look at it that. Because, yeah, that was my next question. Where did the nickname come from? But you just explained it.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful green. Well, green is apparently the color of hope, right? Faith.
It is.
And it really apparently calms our vision, our moods. I don't know if that's what I know from my little research.
Well, I'm a very positive person. And I'm somebody who does tend to turn negatives into positives. And sometimes that goes along with the green.
Oh, that's perfect. Because when I look at you from outside, even, I can tell, like, this lady is very, very, very happy, positive, and definitely well-motivated and inspired. Okay. So it's amazing that, you know, you represent your generation and over 65 with such a positive light.
Well, the thing is that I was doing all that breakfast television that I was talking to you about in the 80s, and I did it for 4.5 years every morning, very early in the morning on breakfast time, all around the country with old people, with children in schools, with the army on boats and all sorts of things. But suddenly it all came to an end and it was found that I had breast cancer. And so I was only 47 at the time. And that was my negative. And so it gave me the opportunity, a rather dramatic opportunity, because I had a bilateral, that's two mastectomies, both sides of my breasts. And but I had taken life for granted until that moment. And while I was there in hospital, it made me think, my goodness me, I've got to look after myself if I'm going to have any more life. And I actually, and I'm serious, I regard every day as special. I've been given another day. And that was from the age of 47, and I'm now 82.
And you look like 48, so.
Oh, aren't you guys?
There we go. But yeah. No, yeah, I was about to ask you about that part of your life and if, you know, that event changes, but you just explained very, very well that actually that was the turning point. So tell me more about your fitness. Was that something that you were involved in before, or that happened actually on the TV and then later on? Where that love for the fitness, healthy lifestyle came from?
Well, I was born and bred in the West Country in Somerset, and I had brothers and boy cousins. And anything they could do, I could do just as well, I thought, because I had these incredibly long legs. And so they pushed me. So my sports were sprinting. And also I played a mean game of tennis. And that went on and on and on. But then I married at 19 And by 21, I had my first boy, and then the second one at 22. And I kept looking after myself and doing a few exercises that I'd learned through my athletics. And so when my girlfriends got married a little bit later than me, 23, 25, they said to me, "Hey, Diana, how did you get your figure back? What did you do?" And before I knew it, I was taking exercise classes. And then somebody recommended me to Butlins, and I did the classes there. And then I was pinched from Butlins by HTV, my station back home in the West Country. And then from there, I did some afternoon programs, and the BBC headhunted me from there. Isn't it strange? And the rest is history.
It's actually amazing, something unusual, because today, that's what I was about to also ask, because I know you've been a very accomplished model too. So was that something that helped you or connected somehow, the fitness, the modeling that pushed you into TV, or they maybe saw that amazing opportunity to collaborate your beauty, your fitness, and obviously your vibrant nature?
Well, I suppose it was just that people saw me, people knew me and said, "Oh, would you do one of our local adverts for the television?" And then eventually, having done quite a lot of adverts for the television, they said to me they wanted a newsreader, continuity announcer and newsreader. And they trained me up and I became that. And then they said to me, "Would you like to start presenting programmes?" And that's also what I did. And so I only did modelling as a sort of, I sort of fell into it because I'm very tall and I've got these long legs. But you're quite right. It did give me a focus to always keep myself in shape, to keep myself fit.
Yeah, I can relate to that too. I'm more into fitness modelling and commercial because I'm not as tall. I am pretty tall, but not super tall for some of the catwalks. But I must say that if you have anything to work towards, for example, my boxing competition or some modeling events, it does keep your mind in the frame of, I need to keep shape, I need to stay focused and don't let myself just go. So I would say that is a big motivator in what I do. So I believe in your field at that time was probably similar. And I know you've been on many catwalks as well, which is a huge accomplishment.
Well, it was an unexpected surprise and delight in my life. But of course, today I am a broadcaster. I'm a journalist. I love writing. I've written, 14, 15 books. And of course, I went back to college and I learned all the business of fitness and well-being. And that's what I specialize in these days. And I just love it. And then also, alongside all of that, I do a lot of charity work as well. I'm heavily involved with anything to do with breast cancer. And nowadays, for the last 30 years, I've been involved with osteoporosis as well, which of course affects many of us women in later life, 1 in 2 and 1 in 5 men as well. So these two things keep me very busy.
I believe so. So, you know, touching up on your fitness background, because that's something that interests me tremendously. Do you see the difference in the fitness culture, exercising, or people's mentality from the 80s, 90s, where you were in your prime, and now? How does that look? Is there any difference? Do you see the change, shift?
It's a completely different world. When I was doing my keeping fit all those years ago, gyms were only places for men, rugby players, footballers, boxing. They were dirty, smelly places for men. Nowadays, as you well know, they have just broadened. They are superb places for men, women, children. So things have changed tremendously. There's just choice for everybody. Of course, there are still keep fit classes, like the sort of things that I instigated back in the 70s and the 80s. But then there are all the specialist classes as well. And it's totally delightful. Whatever turns you on and whatever motivates you to keep fit, to use your body, and of course, healthy body and a healthy mind as well.
I always say that. Because, you know, people have that, unfortunately, still tendency to think if you look after your body, you're a little bit shallow, superficial. It's not as important as looking after your mind. And I always try to say that is, you cannot be more mistaken. If you have healthy body, your brain, your mind is fresh, is healthy, and it will help you to grow in any field you're in. So I would say, you know, as much as I do look after my physique, I like to look good because it makes me feel empowered, but I also put a lot of effort in my education, in my mind. So having those both two, you know, this ancient golden middle is a perfection. But I always say that healthy body, healthy mind equals.
Definitely. But of course, along with the physical and the mental, you must make certain that you are nutritionally fit as well.
Right.
Therefore, you feed your body in the correct way. And so I try to simplify things, really. I eat more of the, wait a minute, the three Fs. So that's fiber, fresh fruit and vegetables. And, oh, gosh, I can't think of my other F at the moment. Isn't that stupid?
I'm trying to think for you.
Fresh fruit and vegetables. Oh, fish. More fish for me than meat. I'm not a big meat eater at all. And then with the S's, less of the sugar, less of the salt, and less of, oh, wait a minute, what's my other S there? I can't think. Rubbish foods, really, is what I'm coming down to, yes. So you have got to watch what you're eating and you're drinking as well.
Definitely. But do you see now, have you seen that, realize that shift that in even in older people community, that they are tend to go more to the gyms, classes? They're not as shy or maybe less out there than before. Have you realized that shift in mentality?
It's tremendous, absolutely tremendous. And when people get to 65, which of course was traditionally when people retired, you had those people who put their feet up, got the slippers out, got into the rocking chair, and this is what we do when we're 65 and we're coming to the end of our life. But of course, within this time that I've been alive, retirement is totally, totally different. And this is where Riverstone, who I'm now working with, come into the picture, because retirement now is just a continuous time. And you want to stay fit and healthy, and you want to continue doing or even doing more things than you used to do before. You've got time. If you've got health, you've got time to maybe visit places in the world that you've always wanted to, reconnect with old friends, make certain you've got time with your family and friends who may well be on the other side of the world these days. And there just isn't a time of retirement anymore. So long as you've got good health, you can go on for many, many, many years enjoying a good way of life. And where you live comes into play on this, because many people at 65 will have established their house, they will have established their way of life, but it may be that it's time to downsize. And as I say, not to put their feet up and, you know, the slippers and all the rest of it. Downsize so that they've got the opportunity to get away, to get out, lock up and leave. And of course, that's what they can do in a place like the Riverstone.
Yeah, so my next question is that the Riverstone, you partnering with this organization which deliver exceptional London livings for over 65, like you just mentioned. So tell us more about this collaboration, that work that you do with them. And why have you decided to partner with them?
Well, first of all, I admire immensely what they've done. They are in Fulham, overlooking the river, hence the word Riverstone, I suppose, and also in Knightsbridge as well. And there's a huge amount of these dwellings together. They're flats, basically, but they're very, very superb flats. And of course, they've got the communal living if you want it. In that they've got restaurants, they've got access to dentists, to physios, to doctors. You can be totally independent if you're feeling fit and well. And maybe you are one of those people who wants to lock up and leave and go off and have a month or so on a cruise or go and visit friends somewhere else in the world. Or otherwise, of course, there are all the communal areas where you can be sociable and meet up with other people. It's an absolutely ideal way of thinking about later living, independent life. I think it's superb.
Right, so who approached you? Did you find them, or they found you, or how did that happen? Because it's very interesting, you know.
Yes, no, it was just word of mouth. It's strange how these things happen. As you get older, you tend to talk to people about just this sort of thing, and then somebody would mention Riverstone. Yes, these things just develop, but I'm delighted to be able to help them. I'll be sharing my experiences that I've learnt over the years with them. And hopefully I'll be able to talk to people to help them maintain good health, well-being, and staying motivated as the years go by.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I went on the website and it's pretty impressive. It's very beautiful, and there's l variety of activities and services that they provide, which I think it's a beautiful thing. Even got me thinking, now when I get older, that would be ideal place to really be, because there are people who are very good at organizing their own life and being motivated and not necessarily looking for anyone to do that for you, but there's a lot of people that need that little bit of push. Let me do that for you. Let me organize it so then you attend. And matter of fact, I just went outside of London past week and to a beautiful place, I think called Folkestone in Kent.
Oh,
I
yes.
realized there's a lot of also older people over there coming for retirement, and it's just magnificent. I was very happy to see that, because I always wonder, and obviously I'm thinking about my parents, how to do that, how to help them, how am I gonna react in that stage of my life, what I'm gonna do, you know. So I think it's a beautiful variety of that we have with the Riverstone, even with the different places in United Kingdom that actually offers such a big help, and it just keeps people motivated, I think, especially in at the age when you're not necessarily this active anymore, and maybe you need more of a push than when you're younger. So I think it's a magnificent idea to do that and
But
speak.
I can assure you that people of 65 these days are many of them are just as motivated as they were many years ago, and that this is a tremendous convenience for them. Maybe both husband and wife are now healthy, they're 65, but they downsize, they lose a lot of their responsibilities. But there's a certain sort of person who has always lived in London or has really enjoyed the life that they have had in London. And many of them, yes, they could to go to Folkestone, they could go to many of these other places, which are wonderful, but there's a certain sort of person who wants to stay where the action is, where the theatres are, where the restaurants are, where a lot of their other friends are. Those are the sort of people who will be very interested to stay in London. And then the delight of somewhere like Riverstone is that should one of those partners become not so well, they can call on, as I've just said, the doctors, the specialists, but then they can also have in-house people who can help them. And that's so important.
That's beautiful. So, what would be your advice to the drastic impact of the pandemic on our older population's health and how to deal with it?
Well, I think one of the major impacts has been loneliness. And I mean, I can speak for myself because certainly this time last year, for example, when we were well and truly in lockdown, I live alone. I live just outside of London. I'm also on the river. But of course, I couldn't see my friends and my family. I haven't actually seen all of my family now for over a year. And this coming weekend, because we've got, the restrictions have been lessened, we are all meeting halfway between London and the West Country, and we're going to have a real lovely, lovely get together. So loneliness has been the major, I think, impact on many, many older people. And one of the things that I kept saying, if I had the opportunity, was to them, make a phone call. Make certain that you keep in touch with your family. This is an opportunity to get in touch with old friends that you've been too busy to be worrying about over many, many years. And I've made such lovely links with older friends of mine again. Now, if in actual fact you can cope with technology, then you and I know, because we're doing a Zoom call here together, I feel as if I'm in the room talking to you. I've also got just by the side of me here my mobile phone. And I'm a great WhatsApp devotee as well. And once again, my family call me from wherever they are and we can visually see one another. So please, if you're a little bit older, don't just disregard technology. Get somebody to help you, because that really does make a difference. The other thing is that it has given quite a number of us time to develop our hobbies. Now, you're seeing me on a Zoom call and you can see behind me, there are two paintings. Those are my paintings.
Wow.
I've probably done 50 paintings in the time of COVID. And I have gained such delight from it, I can't say. So I would like to hope that other people have done more baking, more sewing, more knitting, things like this. It just gives you a bit of a buzz to think, I can still do that.
That is beautiful. Yes, I've spoken about the loneliness before with another guest of mine, and exactly the same advice. Find a hobby, go out there. If you haven't had time to organize your garden, do more gardening.
Oh,
that's
yes.
exactly the advice that every single person would give. And how about the fitness and exercises? I've seen on your YouTube that you're always trying to adjust exercises to the age group that you involved in. How about that? How would you, what would you advise in terms of fitness?
Right. Well, you just started, you talked about the garden. So if you can do anything that is out of doors, then that is superb. I'm a great gardener as well. I absolutely love it. I get a real buzz. I commune with nature. I hear the birds singing. I just love it. I've just rehomed a cat. So she and I are having lots of fun and games from Battersea Dogs Home, Dogs and Cats Home. We're having fun and games there. But if the weather is so good and you're indoors, just clear a bit of a space around you in one of your rooms. You don't need a lot of your space when you're older. Always have something nearby to grab onto. So you could be in your kitchen, or you could be near a cupboard or a doorway somewhere. Always have that so that you've got the safety of that. If you've got steps, if you've got stairs, climb up and down them as much as you can do. That is aerobic exercise. If you need to hold the rail, then do. It's much better to be safe than sorry. What you've got to avoid as you're getting older is a fall. You definitely don't want that. And then if needs be, and you find that standing up isn't too easy these days, for various reasons, Then adapt your exercises and sit in a good upright chair. And I've done masses of those exercises. The BBC called on me a good year ago now and asked me to do exercises every day for about 3 months. And I did a lot of them in a chair. Upper body exercises are so effective when you're sitting in a chair. You can also move your knees up and down. I'm doing it as I'm talking to you. Stamping on the floor as I'm doing it. Anything to keep you motivated to move your body more. And then grab a couple of water bottles or cans of Coke or something or the other. Have those in your hands like I'm doing again as I'm talking to you, and bring them up to your shoulder and work your arms and up above you. It's extraordinary what you can do when you really concentrate on moving yourself. Mm-hmm. And the benefit is so, so great.
So what would you advise to people who are less motivated to go and search for you, search for those exercises, or who just, you know, sometimes when we sit home and that lockdown hit us, you might feel a little depressed or a little dismotivated. What would be your advice? How to keep yourself more inspired and look for any other ways to, you know, occupy your time?
Well, I think the big thing is not to just slouch in a chair. That's the number one thing that is so, so wrong. So literally tell yourself, I must go out for maybe a 10-minute walk. I mean, now we've got the sort of the business of not having to wear the masks all the time. That makes it a lot easier because you can walk down the road and you can stop and say hello to somebody. And that makes a difference, puts a smile on your face. And then give yourself perhaps the task of, okay, I'm now going to walk for half an hour a day, and give yourself somewhere to go, a motivation to see more things. And then that actually gives you, when you come home, that gives you a sense of well-being. Hey, I've done that. I've achieved that. You've probably seen somebody along the way. You've probably seen a dog or a bird or something that's made you smile. It's given you a bit more quality to life. And then gradually build up your activity a little bit more and more and more.
So basically, we just have to push ourselves and just get out of the house, just even if it's just to say hi to the lady in a grocery store. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Because the difference is that your muscles will atrophy and you won't be as strong and you won't be able to do all those things. Do you know, one of the things that I've done over many, many years now, 30 or so years, I've been fortunate enough to work on cruise ships. And I've observed over all the years on the cruise ships that as and when you get into a port, there is a certain type of person who will get up and go, and they'll take advantage of a trip that's going, I don't know, up the temple there, and they're going to walk up the steps and they're going to see the view from the temple, and then they're going to come back on the ship later in the afternoon and they'll be buzz, buzz, buzz talking about what they've seen and what they've done. And then there are those slouchers who said, no, I don't want to do anything like that. I'm going to sit here and have another drink and enjoy the sun. And then those people haven't got anything like the richness of experience that my get up and goers have done. Teaches me a lesson.
Definitely, definitely. So coming back to Riverstone, what is the Riverstone commitment and the role to well-being, mental health and physical health?
They have really taken it on board that they want their people living there to stay fit and healthy. They don't feel that this is the end of a person's time. You know, they've reached their destination, retirement and all that business. They regard it as being the start of the new road, new experiences. And they want to encourage and to have the facilities to keep the people who live in the residents in Riverstone well and fit. And so for that reason, they've appointed a delightful doctor to supervise all the goings on, and also to be there for the residents for consultation, Dr. Zoe Ryko. And then they will have yoga classes. They've got swimming pools there. So there'll be just so much for people to take advantage of. There will be clubs formed. There will be outings that people can go on. As time develops, they'll do more and more. It's just so exciting.
You just told it to me. I want to go.
Well, by the side of the river there, of course, I'm sure that they'll have some boats and things involved at some stage or the other. But can you appreciate that if in actual fact you've looked after yourself and you're reasonably fit and healthy, then there's so much more that life has to offer you. And okay, we none of us get to age 65, 70, at least I think it'd be very rare to get to 65 and 70 without a problem or two. I've had my breast cancer and I've had a few other problems as well. But even people who have perhaps limited mobility, it's extraordinary what they can still do. I was looking yesterday at a mini video that somebody sent me on WhatsApp of a young woman I know who has been disabled and in a wheelchair for years and years now. She's only 55, 60. She was in a lock in Scotland. Mm-hmm. With what do we call it? An inflation. What do I mean? You know, the thing that you tie on you to keep you afloat.
Right.
A flotation thing. And she was swimming front crawl because she'd kept her strength in her upper body. And she was swimming there. What a delight she had. The freedom. Not in her wheelchair anymore.
Goosebumps right now.
I was so, so proud of her. I sent her such huge congratulations. But it's extraordinary what we can do these days. We've got facilities around us, like in Riverstone, and the medical profession, generally speaking, are able to help us with all sorts of things. If we put ourselves out there and we try to help ourselves.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So what would be your advice, not only for older generation, but to everyone who struggle with mental and physical health, especially in those hard times of pandemic?
Well, we've discussed about keeping yourself as physically motivated and active as you can be. But of course, if in actual fact, especially for the younger people, if you can join a club, I mean, there are so many, the council runs so many good clubs all around the country. And the facilities that are available these days, which were never there when I was a youngster or even into the 70s, they weren't there. But now there are swimming pools, there are fitness clubs, there are football clubs that you can join. All those sorts of things will then put you into contact with other people, and that's where it really is important. And, you know, let's face it, teachers are looking to help people in their classes, not only in a physical way, but in a social way as well.
That's correct. And I must say, England is amazing country in the sense of clubs. I'm a part of a boxing club. Of course, I'm younger, but I'm part of the better recreation center that has several clubs. Squash. How do you call that British thing with the bowl, a big bowl that you just
The 10-pin bowling.
There you go. And I've seen a lot of older people doing this. Now you have what else? Swimming, like you mentioned, aqua aerobic. I've seen.
Oh, it's such fun!
All those clubs, I was amazed, and I'm with there, working with there very, very closely, and I'm thinking that is a beautiful thing to do. Amazing, something amazing in United Kingdom.
There are the council do it in most areas. you can join a walking club.
Is it called Nordic walking with the sticks as well, right?
Very intense, that is. And that's very good. But you know, people of any age, therefore, can join in with the walking. Obviously, if you're older, it's nice to have people perhaps of your age so that you don't get left behind. But you know, just a simple thing like walking with a few other people can be quite a joyous occasion.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're coming to the end of this amazing interview, but I would like to ask you, because I always have that segment on the show called Fad or a Fact. And since you're such a big inspiration and an extreme expert in your field, I would like to ask you if you can share or you know any facts about older people exercising or any type of misconceptions about fitness and well-being and mental health when you reach to that older age. Is there anything you could share with us? Any facts or facts?
Well, the facts are that we are living longer. I mean, when I was a little girl, if you said somebody was 60, by golly, they were really, really old. Nowadays, it just doesn't matter. We're all living longer. The number of people aged 65 plus living in the UK is forecast to increase by 20% to 12 million by 2027. And the over 90s in the UK are expected to rise at an even faster rate, well, that'll include me, I hope, at by a third, to more than 750,000 people over the next 8 years. So there's obviously a market in making good decisions differently and to plan ahead for living over 65. Now, I personally have a little mantra of my own, and I say that age is mind over matter. And if you don't mind, it doesn't matter. And therefore, at this day and age, really, you can look forward to trying to do whatever you want to do as the years go by.
That is correct. Amen to that. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Any last words that you would like to share with our listeners? Any words of wisdom, encouragement, or anything you would like to share with us at the end, Diana?
No, I just think that because we've been in lockdown for so long and not able to, we have missed out with that warmth and closeness of our close friends and our family. And now is the time, pick up that phone, make all those connections again, and start fully living and loving again.
That is beautiful. Thank you. I couldn't be more grateful for having you. That was a beautiful interview, very important. Thank you so much to you, to Riverstone. Nothing else I can say. Thank you.
It's been a delight, and all I can say to you is stay well and be happy.
Same to you, Diana. Thank you so much.
Actually, can I just add something?
Of course.
While I was doing the work with the BBC, yes. I was doing all the recording in my own house. I was doing it totally alone. So I was the producer. I was the fitness expert. I was the cameraman, I was sound, and I was, well, everything, absolutely everything. So much so that the BBC and myself in conjunction, we made a DVD of many of the chair exercises and the easy exercises, and it's called Keep Fit and Carry On. And I've also got a website of that same name where you can find out a lot of the things that you and I have just been talking about today.
Keep fit and carry on. Beautiful. But connecting what you just said, exactly the same thing. Everything. I need to be cameraman, a producer, little things here and there. But how exciting is that? You always meet different people, gain new knowledge. That is something priceless. I adore that. I appreciate that. And so, again, I couldn't be more happy to have you and speak to you. It's beautiful. Thank you so much. You take care and have a lovely day. Beautiful weather. So take care of yourself.
It's lovely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And now, as usual, it's time for our short workout together. Again, today we have three exercises. This time it's a little mix. A mix of lower body, some core, and cardio. All together in a short workout. We're going to work for 45 seconds as usual, and you have 15 seconds rest recovery time. We're going to have three rounds of the same three exercises, and you're going to have 1 minute break in between rounds. Are we ready, team? Listen up. Okay, your first exercise, I call it the frog walk. So you're in your squat position, your booty should be somewhere around between your knees level. Open your feet wide. Have your hands either on your shoulders or in praying position. You can see the video on my Instagram, so make sure you check the technique, okay? So you're gonna be in your frog walk, and you're gonna walk 2, 3, 4 steps forward, and the same 2, 3, 4 steps backwards. It depends how many steps you wanna do. It's up to you, team. But make sure your booty is low, your chest is open, shoulder blades together, chin up. Keep breathing. While you're walking forward, make sure you start with your heels. So walk, walk, walk forward. Heel, while you're walking backwards, start from your toes. Toes, back, back, back. And again, keep walking for 45 seconds. Then you get your 15 seconds rest recovery time. And exercise number two, team, we're going to mix some squats, so lower body, with side crunch. I call it side crunch squat. So all together, you're opening your feet wide, your hands are up. You can hold your hands on top, you don't need to. Okay, so we're going to squat deep and low, again, booty around your knees level, and then you're raising your knee high up onto your elbow while you're squatting. You're working on your legs, and while you're going for your side crunch, you're working mainly on your obliques as well as your core. But the obliques are the one that work the most in this exercise. You can keep switching sides, team, or you can stick to one side for 20 to 23 seconds and then you switching side. Alright, team, so that was exercise number two. We're moving on to exercise number three, the last one, and I call it the quick fit or sprints in spot. All you're doing is you're hinging forward, booty out, knees slightly bent. You're using your ball of your feet. So don't be heavy on your feet, be light on your feet. And sprint, like you're sprinting in the park, anywhere, but this time we're doing this at the house. Sprint, 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 sprint for 45 seconds. Right, okay, and that was round number one. What we wanted to do is we wanted to repeat the same round two more times. So in total, you have nice three rounds of quick and effective workout. You can take that workout, team, outdoor, indoor, to your office, in your work break, anywhere you want. And it will be amazing to see your version of this workout. If you wanted to see the technique properly, please visit my Instagram, Fitness with NK, and UK Health Radio Instagram. We will post those exercises over there so you can actually see if you're doing this exercise correctly. Film yourself, tag me in your workout video, ask me any questions. You can always DM me. I am there for you. Good luck. The HUK research presents the drastic impact of the pandemic on our older population's health and morale. The HUK publishes a new research that shows how incredibly hard day-to-day life has been for millions of older people during the pandemic. The study shows that many older people are enduring increased and sometimes devastating level of anxiety. Even during the summer, when the restrictions were eased, many were too afraid to go out. Months of being cooped up at home have led to muscle weakness and sometimes a reduced sense of balance, increasing the risk of falls. The research also uncovered many examples of depression, loss of hope, low mood, lack of support for meal preparation, decrease of physical health, and increase pain due to untreated health conditions. The HUK is urging everyone to stick together and not to forget the many older people who are still struggling and who still face many challenges during this pandemic. I hope you enjoy today's episode as well as our short workout together. Share with me your thoughts, comments, DM me with your life stories. If you have any questions or you would like me to talk about any particular subject, please contact me. Follow me on Instagram, fitnesswithnk, where you can leave your message. Make sure you visit my website, www.nataliakotowska.com. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.